Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called Grace, and this week, Pastor Scott Johnson explains that worship is primary and ministry is secondary. Enjoy!
Well, hey, Rock family, again, we're just so thankful that you're here. So, I love it. That's a really loud 13 people in this room. So, anyway, wherever you are right now, maybe you're at your house, maybe you're watching on a device, maybe you're connecting with some friends, or maybe you're just somewhere, this is kind of even new for you. We just are so thankful that you're tuning in, because we're in a conversation about grace. Now, a few weeks ago at Easter, we began this conversation, and last week, we began talking about grace as a kind of a, through a two different ways. First, a metaphor of a table. And so last week, if you were with us, or maybe you want to go back and check that out after watching this, Josh was talking about how we are just a red solo cup, china, paper plate kind of a church where everybody gets a seat at the table, everybody's welcome, and how we looked at Jesus loves to eat with sinners. And so we want to make sure you check that out, because we're going to build on that tonight, because there were two metaphors, or one was scripture that we're going to look at right now in just a second, where there's kind of an overarching theme for this conversation about grace. Now, when we started writing this sermon series, we started talking about let us say grace, which is what happens around a table. And so everything that we're talking about happens around a table. And one of the things we talk about grace is we want to make sure that everybody gets a seat at that table. Now, the verse that we're kind of hinging everything on comes from a book in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. So I'm going to jump up here on the screen. I'm going to put this so that we can read this together. Now, there is actually kind of an admonition here, and there's two parts to this verse. I want to kind of just read through this with you. Look after each other, and that's kind of what the gracious thing to do, right, just to begin by looking after each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. That's our hope. Number one, that nobody misses out on the grace of God. We want everybody to get the, what God has given to us, and we can extend it to you. Now, tonight, I want to press into that second part of this verse, because when we talk about everybody gets a seat at the table, but sometimes there's a problem. And there's something that could block the grace, and there's something that can block our not only receiving, but the giving of grace away. Now, what's interesting in this text in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, watch out. So you look out for people, but then you watch out for things that can trip us up. So watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So what we have in this verse, if we're going to welcome everybody to the table and we want to extend grace to everybody, there are some things that can block the flow of grace to us and to others. Now, what's interesting, the writer of Hebrews, and we don't know exactly who wrote Hebrews, we have some guesses, but the writer says there's one thing in particular that can block grace. And it's interesting, in the NLT, it calls it a poisonous root of bitterness. Isn't it? That's kind of the problem, right? I know that's an easy problem for humans, and that's the kind of the problem that we have when it comes to giving away grace. Is usually the one thing that blocks us from being able to give away grace is, well, I don't want to, right? It's that bitterness, like, no. I remember our last exchange. There's some bitterness. But it always starts as like a small little seed, kind of like a little flower that comes up through the crack of a sidewalk. It just forces its way right through circumstances. So we have to look out for this poisonous root of bitterness that grows up to trouble you. And here's the thing. He says, it's not just about you. It corrupts many. That the thing about grace when it comes to us, it always has implications for other people. And that what God wants to do with us and in us and through us has implications for everyone around us. And so what we're going to dive into tonight is this conversation about grace and making sure that we are aware of any poisonous root in our life that might need to be unrooted, so that we can receive grace and give it away. And so we're going to kind of jump into this, but I just want to talk about the problem with grace is actually right here in the book of Hebrews. It says there's this bitter root because there's something about the human condition that we're just sometimes bitter, or there's something inside of us that blocks, and maybe we can call it pride, we can call it a lot of different things, and it's normal. It's normal for humans to kind of react this way. I'll just tell you that for me, I know a kind of normal disposition sometimes is not to want to be able to give away grace. And it's normal. This goes all the way back to in the Garden of Eden. It's kind of there's something that kind of springs forth and kind of grows and causes a separation. Now I will say, when it's giving grace away, sometimes it's hard, because I would tell you that when it comes to giving grace away, here's the problem. We want to give grace away in proportion to fairness, which really isn't grace at all, is it? It's like, well, I'll be gracious to people who are gracious to me. But Scripture says it's easy to forgive people that have forgiven you, and it's easy to be nice to people who are nice to you, but what about people who hate you? And so here's the thing about grace, is we want to give away grace in proportion to fairness. But I just want to tell you that there's a lie, that little, maybe for some of us, there's one lie that has crept into our lives. I know it's crept into culture. And it's a poisonous root, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. And here it is. You ready? Life ain't fair. All right, so the lie is this. Someone said life is fair, but that's a lie. Life ain't fair. And to quote my friend Sturgill Simpson, life ain't fair and the world's mean. And so I'm going to tell you that there was a lie that we've all bitten into, that it should be fair. And the reason that we hold on to fairness and want everything to be fair, that inhibits our ability to be gracious. Now, I will say that sometimes out in the world, it's easy to matter of fact, it's kind of easier to give away grace to people in the world, because we're conditioned in a way. Because here's the thing about grace. Grace has a hard time thriving in our culture. Not only because it's about fairness, because here's the thing. We live in a culture that's all about competition and comparison. But grace is an act of compassion. So here's the problem tonight, and I want to kind of dive right into this, that when competition and comparison are the norm, compassion is rare. And the reason we can't be gracious is because we're always competing with other people, we're always in competition, and we're always comparing, and comparison is the thief of joy, and therefore we just don't want to give it away. Now, this is our condition, but I'm going to say this now, and I'll repeat it later. This isn't a problem for God. Because our God is not in competition with anyone. God doesn't compare himself to anyone. Therefore, God can be gracious. God can love uninhibited because God is not in competition with anybody. And God doesn't compare himself to anybody. So this is one of the ways that we understand. This is kind of our problem and this is our norm. Now, I'm going to talk about a story in Scripture to kind of, you know, anchor what we're talking about. Last week we talked about eating with people who were sinners. Tonight we're going to look at a scripture, and this weekend we're going to be kind of unpacking this story of eating with friends. Because I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes it's easier to forgive people out in the wild. The guy who cuts us off in traffic, it's kind of easier to kind of go like, well, whatever, must be having a bad day. But here's where sometimes grace is the hardest place to extend. Sometimes it's right in our own homes. Now, I want to talk to you for just a minute. You might be sitting on your couch right now, and this conversation may hurt, because sometimes it's hard to love people in our own homes. And let me explain why. When you love someone intimately, love is giving someone the capacity to destroy you and trusting that they won't. Let me say that again, because when you love someone, you're giving them the capacity to destroy you. They know everything about you. They know your insides. They know your heart. They know everything. And you're trusting they won't use it against you. And when they do, it hurts the worst. I know maybe I'm not alone in that. That sometimes that's when it hurts the most. And that's why sometimes grace is so hard in our homes. And maybe right now on your couch, you're going like, oh, man, he brought it up. But we have to. Like Kalock said, some of the word hurts, but it's good. It's good medicine. So tonight we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where Jesus actually ate with some friends. And we're going to look at how grace was unpacked and shared amongst them. Now, this passage comes from the New Testament. This is a third book in the New Testament. One of the Gospels, one of those biographies of Jesus called Luke. In the 10th chapter, it says this. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, this is a little bit of an advertisement, okay, because there is so much I want to say about this verse. This verse 38 right here, I want to go so deep into why they were in Bethany, where they were coming from, why they were traveling, why this was a safe house, why this was a ministry place, but I can't. So here's what we're doing. Sometimes when we get to the discover part of a message, there's so much more that we want to say and so much more that we want to discover, but we don't have time. We're going to make time. So on Tuesday nights at 7:30, I'm going to be broadcasting live, and we're going to discover more. And this is one of the things we're going to discover more about. I want to go deeper on that, okay? There's so much in that one sentence, but not now. Later, okay? So they are at someone's house for a really big reason, and these are trusted friends. They're trusted friends because this is a place where Jesus would have been with some. It's really people he felt comfortable around. He loved them. This is Martha's house. Had a sister by the name of Mary and a brother named Lazarus. Maybe you've heard those names before. And Jesus really developed a relationship. And so Martha opens up her home. And so Jesus comes in. Now, the thing about eating with friends, when people come over, there's always a lot to do, right? There's so much to do. There's more to do than we have time to do in all the preparations. And there are two sisters. And I just want to read through this very quickly, and then we're going to kind of go right back through it. So Martha opens up her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. So she's there. Jesus is spending time. He's not just passing through. He's there, and he's speaking. What he's speaking about, we don't know. This is a private teaching. We don't know what he was saying, but she was listening. We'll come back to this. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, like most of us would, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do everything and I'm serving alone? And I love this. Tell her to get up. Like, she doesn't give Jesus a chance to answer. Like, then tell her to get up and help me. But Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, typically this passage is wrapped up in a sermon about worship and work. And typically, this is a place where we would pit one sister's behavior against another sister's behavior and say, look how good one is and look how bad the other one is. But that wouldn't be very gracious. It's not that it's just not gracious. It's actually not in good reading of the whole of Scripture. Because here's what we understand. Yes, there's some aspects. We'll get into how this may be part of the story. But here's the thing. What Jesus is going to do in this story is be gracious. Jesus doesn't pit one sister against another. He offers grace, but he does it in different ways. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to show how Jesus offered grace to two sisters in two different ways in proportion to what they needed, not what was fair. So I'm going to run right back through this, and we're going to talk about Mary. When I think about Mary, there's a quote from St. Augustine who says it this way, God gives where he finds empty hands. St. Augustine lived about 1,600 years ago, and he says that the best place for God to work is in empty hands. Now, that's a quote when I think about Mary and I think about kind of her position. She's sitting at the Lord's feet. So when we talk about, well, where was grace for Mary, for this one friend? Mary was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Now, friends, I got to be honest with you. That's grace. Because God doesn't have to come into our lives. God doesn't have to be available to us. God doesn't have to speak to us. But God does. He chooses to. And that God is speaking and God is loving and just pouring wisdom into Mary is being so gracious because he's sharing the word. He's giving wisdom. He's giving life. And he's giving bread of heaven to Mary. That's the grace. That's the grace that God's given Mary, and Mary is open-handed, and she's receiving. And so why that's important, and this is a little bit about worship and work, but what Mary is doing is she's worshiping at her Savior's feet, And she knows that this is the rabbi who's giving the bread of heaven. And he's so gracious to do it in the family's home. I want to tell you right now, if you're at your home right now, and you are just wanting to taste the bread of heaven, maybe right now you want to get ready to end the service and you want to do communion with your family and just experience bread of heaven together, this would be a good time and a good day to do that. But this isn't the only way God was sharing grace in this home, because let's take a look at Martha. Now, Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Now, I got to be honest with you. This is where most women go like, yeah, I mean, obviously, right? She's got to get it. I mean, this is the God of heaven, the Lord Almighty, is eating in your home, right? There's some things you probably would want to do. And she's busy with all the distractions. But here, I want to take us back to this Hebrews 12:15. Even in the presence of the Lord, a little poisonous root can sprout. Even though the Lord is with us, he doesn't save us from everything. He stands with us. And we don't know the backstory here, and we don't know what was going on. We don't know exactly what this exchange looked like. We have a very small slice. But here what we know, that Martha, you know, respectively, is going like, Mary. And I'm sure that she didn't interrupt Jesus on the first try. I'm sure she said Mary many times before she actually went to Jesus and asked for help. And I'm sure she was frustrated. And I know that she was frustrated because here's what Luke, as the writer, does. I'm going to show you this. There's two things that he does to point us to understanding where grace was applied for Mary. Lord, don't you know? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this serving alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered, and this is where grace steps in. Now, on Easter morning, I talked about how Jesus spoke Mary of Magdala's name, and how gracious he was to break through on sunrise at Easter morning to break through and give her clarity. In this moment, when God speaks, it's always gracious. And God says, Mary, and he doesn't just say it once. Here's what I love about this. Martha. Martha. And in this moment, there's this kind of Martha, like, hey, shh. Martha, there's not any rebuke here. This is just friends. Martha, listen, Martha. Now, I want to show you what else is going on here. Jesus says, you're worried and bothered about so many things. Jesus is saying, like, I notice that you're worried, and I notice that you're bothered. And so he speaks Martha's name twice, and he says, I notice that you're worried and you're bothered. And Jesus always addresses the things that we need to hear. Martha, listen. What Mary is doing, she has chosen the good part, the agatha, the good part. And here's what he's saying about this. This is what she needs right now. This is the goodness that she needs. Now, I want to make a caveat about exactly what Martha, and I want to make a defense for Martha, because a lot of times people throw Martha under the bus right here, and I don't think that's fair, because here's why. When you look at the whole of Scripture, what actually Martha says, like, don't you know that I've been serving, and she's not having. That word serving happens to be this word diakonos, which happens 34 other times in the New Testament. And every other time, we translate it as ministry. What Martha was doing was ministry. What she's doing was actually the Lord's work. And so it wasn't that it was a bad thing, and it wasn't that it was simply secondary to the primary. And so in defense to Martha, she's actually doing. But Jesus says, listen, what Mary has chosen is the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now let me just look straight at this camera for a moment and just talk to you about why this is for us right now. Beside these 13 people right here, you're not here. we're not worshiping as we normally worship on all our physical campus. But here's the thing. Our God is unstoppable. We serve a spirit who is immutable. And the goodness of worship will not be taken away from us. We will continue to worship because Jesus said to a woman at the well in John 4, verse 24, there will be a day such as today when people will worship me in spirit and truth. On that mountain or in Jerusalem, it won't matter that I will be wherever they are. And no one can take that from them. Not COVID, not quarantine, nothing. What you're doing right now, when you're worshiping with your family, the Lord says, no one can take that from you. What Mary has chosen, the world cannot touch. But Martha, this is primary. So what Jesus is doing here, he's actually kind of helping them, reorder their life, because where the grace is that Jesus is teaching, and any time that Jesus is teaching, there's so much grace. And he's trying to teach, okay, what Mary is doing is the primary. And ministry and work is always secondary. It's not that it's a bad thing and something those happen, but here's what Jesus is being so gracious to tell them. You can't give away what you don't have. And if you're not willing to receive grace first, you can't give it away. And so I want to just challenge you right now. This is kind of the moment when we look at what Jesus is being so gracious to teach his friends Mary and Martha. And I'm sure Lazarus was there listening, and the disciples, and everybody was around listening to this, and Martha is busy trying to get all these fellas fed, and it makes sense. But he's like, Martha, I'm right here. Don't miss it. Worship is primary. Because Jesus knew there'll be a moment that he would not be with them anymore. Martha, for now, let's worship. For what Mary's doing, no one's, if I'm no longer here, you know, you can't feed me if I'm here, but if you're worshiping, no one can take that from you. But there's this moment when I feel like people kind of look harsh on Martha, and kind of, and it's true that we're learning from these. But here's the thing, God is being so gracious and so tender with both of these women. He's teaching and Mary's just sitting there soaking it up, and he's so tender with Martha. Martha, Martha. And he's so gracious with his time and his words. And so what I want to tell you today is that there was this bitter root somewhere in those ladies' relationship, and maybe it was because their personalities were so different. Maybe, you know, they were just, Enneagram different numbers. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. And so, like, there was a moment where sometimes it's going to have some friction, but what Jesus does, he steps in, and what we learn is he's more concerned about uprooting any poisonous root in that home. Martha, Martha. And I'm sure there was a side conversation here, and Jesus offered some help and some healing to make sure that whatever poisonous root of bitterness between these ladies wouldn't hurt the many. Because have you ever been at a dinner party where there was an argument and then the party was ruined for everybody? You think Jesus wants that to happen at the house right there in Bethany? And so Jesus is saying, like, Martha, listen, we have so much ministry to do together. But for now, if we're going to squash the bitterness, let's worship. And so the questions that we're going to respond with today, and wherever you are, and just kind of, you know, I don't know where you are and what's going on in your life, and I don't, you know, speaking to people, especially right in your living room, I don't know the dynamic of what's happened in your life and what's happened in your house, but I want to go back to that verse in Hebrews 12:15. We don't want anyone to miss the grace, even right in our own home. And so there's some work that has to be done. We have to find whatever that poisonous root of bitterness is and uproot it. Because it just doesn't distract and hurt us. It hurts everyone. And so there's a way that we're going to respond right now that I'm going to ask these two questions. And so the questions are this. Where in your life is there something that needs to be uprooted? I don't know where that is, and I don't know what it is, but maybe there's just an issue in your home. And like I said, this might hurt. There might, after this service, you might just need to have a conversation. And you may need to say, there's this thing that's between us. And so here's where we're going to go right now. like I said, you can't give away what you don't have. There might be something that needs to be uprooted in your life so that you can receive grace. Remember what Jesus was actually teaching them. There's two things we can do. We can do ministry and we can do work. Excuse me, we can do worship and we can do ministry, but worship is always primary, because if you're not connected to God, if there's anything that just keeps us away from God and from receiving His grace, we can't give it away. And so here's the question. I don't know where you are and what's going on in your life, but I want to invite you to think about this. Is there anything that's keeping you from receiving the grace of God? And I want to encourage you two things. Number one, this is easy for God. God's not in competition with anyone. God doesn't compare Himself with anyone. Therefore, compassion is easy. When I read this scripture with Mary and Martha, I see how gentle Jesus is to speak truth in love. And I want to speak some truth in love right now. There might be some soul searching and some praying and some digging, that things in your life that need to be uprooted. There might be some things that you need to stop. I don't know what that step is for you today. Maybe it's to, like, you just want to take a step of faith and confess your sins and know, but here's the thing. Know this, that our God is gracious. He is ready to forgive. He is ready to give grace to you. And maybe that may be a huge concept for you, but I want to tell you this. God gives to those with empty hands. And you uproot and you take anything out of your hands that's keeping you and keeping God at a distance, God will fill the places that have been prepared. I want to encourage you to think about that. And then there's another question. Once we receive the grace of God, which is the worship, and we're there, we do that through worship, we respond with grace. So, what do we do with what's been given? Maybe you're at one with God. Maybe you know the grace of God, and you're just filled with how gracious our God is. But what about the person sitting beside you? What about your neighbor? Is there any poisonous root of bitterness between you? And if so, I just want to encourage you to uproot it. And that might be you physically may have to do something. You may have to stop something. You may have to have a conversation. It might just be that we say, I'm sorry. I want to encourage you to respond in grace tonight. And wherever you are and what's going on in your life, maybe you want to, take a step towards Jesus right now. And you want to respond to His grace. I want to tell you right now, you have a Father in heaven who loves you so much. He wanted to give you His grace, and He gave you His only Son to come down and to live a life and to die a death that He didn't deserve, so we can find the grace that we don't deserve. And we just want you to respond to that tonight, because we want everybody at the table. Lastly, friends, as we get ready to go right back into some worship time where we're going to have a chance to really just kind of be in the moment, there might be a conversation or a next step that you want to respond. You might want to go to the kitchen right now and grab some stuff for communion and have communion together and make sure that you are worshiping together in your home. We encourage you to do that. You might want to connect. Now, you might want to, connect online right now in the chat box. You might want to text to the Word, and you want to schedule a baptism, and that's your next step. We want to help you do that. Our baptistry is open, and we can make that happen. Wherever you are to right now, I want to pray that you receive the grace of God, because you can't give away what you don't have. And when you receive the free gift of grace from Jesus, you give it away like you're made of it. You give it away like the grace will never run out, because here's the thing, you can't give it all away, because our God is that good. Friends, wherever you are, let's respond to the grace of Jesus right now.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like more information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.